South of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Today I'd like to tie up a lot of little loose ends from people who've been sending me emails and asking me questions and doing phone consults. Now, first of all, any first world person who's ever come down here to Latin America for a decent period of time, not just a quick vacation or two. Well, what happens is that eventually you begin to notice things that almost never strike you when you're in that vacation state of mind. Fact is, when we expats get together, we talk about the strangest things. And naturally, we make a lot of comparisons about the first and third world that most people up in the States don't know about, don't concern themselves with, or don't even care about. Though they really should, because if we paid more attention, we just might live longer. Like, for example, the things we think are normal up in the first world might not be viewed as normal at all if you are down in Latin America. And sometimes, on occasion, we might all be better off if we paid more attention to the way things are done down here. And I know I talk a lot about the gringo advantage and the fact that gringos can excel in a variety of ways, simply because Latin people in general lack so many of the traits necessary to survive in a really competitive business atmosphere. But you know, contrary to what a lot of North Americans might think, being a crack businessman isn't everything. I mean, what good is it to come down to Latin America, start a business, and make a great success out of it if you remain a stressed out, first world, over-medicated basket case? Which is kind of the status quo for a lot of first world business people that I know. In fact, where I come from, that's considered kind of the norm. But down here in the third world, finding a wired, stressed out local businessman would not be so easy. So sure, the average Latin business guy does not run a tight ship. In fact, in many cases, you wonder how his business stays afloat at all. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that Latin businessmen, as a rule, are happier, healthier, and infinitely less stressed than their first world counterparts. So what you might want to have as your goal is to create a business down here with first world standards, and yet adapt a Latin business owner's attitude about life in general. Now, that would be the best of both worlds. So how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you this, it doesn't happen overnight. Well, what I mean is phase one starts out that way. Starting that business and maintaining first world standards, that's the easy part. But phase two, trying to de-stress, lower your blood pressure, and just basically fall into a really relaxed state of mind, well, that's the hardest part of all because, you know, us first worlders are programmed for just the opposite. Now, tell me if you haven't experienced this. I'd have to say that every highly successful businessman I've ever known up in the States was always overworked, stressed out, and basically on the edge of collapse. I've known quite a few who've lived on junk food, coffee, and Diet Coke, not to mention those assorted beta blockers, statin drugs, antidepressants, and vodka chasers. And I'll tell you, down here, even those upscale, rich Latin businessmen, who are gringo wannabes in the worst way, they don't hold a candle to first world business guys in the stress and mental fatigue department. I mean, sure, they're starting to get into the habit of becoming addicted to big pharma mass marketing. Why wouldn't they get started on that too? I mean, gringos are popping pills in record numbers, so it must be the right thing to do. But even when you look into a rich Latin family's medicine cabinet, you'll see they're vastly underserved by big pharma, at least up till now. Yet, a wealthy Latin person's life expectancy, as well as a poor or middle-class Latin person's life expectancy, is into the 80s and beyond, about the same as it is for people up in the first world. But how can that be? That is a conundrum. It just doesn't seem logical, especially when expats notice things that should by rights fly in the face of longevity. Like, for example, that Latin America is in no way the cleanest or most sanitary place to be, and that Latins aren't nearly as concerned about things like that as first world people are. Yet they still have a life expectancy very close to ours. And remember, they also use about a quarter of the amount of water per capita that a first world person does too. So that means many less showers and baths than you and I would take. But actually, I should rephrase that. The majority of middle class and wealthier Latins do take a shower every day. It's just that for them it only lasts about a minute and a half, with the water coming out of the shower head at about a quarter of the pressure you're used to. And by the way, on that note, if you're ever invited to stay overnight at a Latin person's house, and if you're traveling around and meeting new friends, that'll happen quite a bit. Anyway, don't be surprised if you get up in the morning to take a shower and there's no hot water. And there'll be no big announcement about it. No one will advise you ahead of time. And there's no use complaining about it. You just have to tough it out. And as for the Latins living in the household, they're not toughing it out at all because they're used to it. In fact, many Latins I know who have constant hot water in their shower take a cold shower instead and love it. I don't get it myself, but they prefer it that way. They were used to that as they were growing up. But us gringos, we're just not tough like that. Except, of course, for backpackers, who, if you ask me, sometimes look a bit tortured. Don't tell me they don't suffer. I mean, hauling around those big-ass backpacks everywhere they go, sleeping 6 or 10 to a room on saggy mattresses loaded with bed bugs. And don't tell me that isn't true. I've seen guys like that walking around with Bermuda shorts with 1,000 little pinprick bug bites up and down their legs. So hey, sport, we having fun yet? And speaking of hygiene and showers, now this might ring a bell for you. I remember that my sister up in Chicago, in the summertime, would often take 3 showers a day. And sure, my mother would get on her a little bit about it, but it was really no big deal, and it was just her thing and what she liked to do. And I bet a lot of you folks up there in Boston or Denver or Milwaukee know somebody like that. Well, I can tell you down here in Latin America, if you could locate someone that took 3 showers a day, well, you'd probably spend the rest of your life looking. And don't forget, down here we're in the tropics. And when you're at sea level, you've got a constant coating of sweat, which is why I always prefer to live in the Altiplano. But I digress, as usual. And by the way, about 90% of Latin families don't even have a bathtub. It's an expensive luxury only upper middle class and wealthy people enjoy. And it's not that the middle classes wouldn't like to have one, even if they could afford it. But it's just that since almost every middle class family is on a municipal water supply, that means in most cases it would take about 6 hours to fill one. So even if you could draw a bath, it would be ice cold. So think about this for a second. That means that at least half of all the people in Latin America have never even had a real bath before. So with water in such short supply, I guarantee you Latins aren't washing their hands 10 times a day like first world people do. Yet for Latins, it doesn't seem to matter much. Still, most of them live well into their 70s and 80s. And you've heard me say before that 90 to 90% of all their rivers and lakes are polluted, and the air quality in most big cities is, well, horrible. Yet they still have just about the same lifespan that we do. So why are all classes of Latins living so damn long when their water is polluted, their air is polluted, and they're not, as a rule, nearly as hygienic in any way, shape, or form as first world people are? But us expats are not stumped about this. We've talked about this so much at parties and get-togethers that we think we've got it figured out. From what those of us who've put in a lot of thought on the subject, it looks to us like there are 4 basic factors that allow Latins to stay healthy enough to live well into their 80s, even with bad air and bad water, lousy personal hygiene, and plenty of access, but no desire or money to pay for big pharma drugs. And that, of course, is in their favor. So let's talk a bit about those 4 very positive factors that keep these guys going. Well, for one, since 80% of the population doesn't own a car, that means everybody's walking everywhere. Plus, when you look at the road crews, you'll see 9 out of 10 guys are wielding a pick and a shovel. They're not driving Case backhoes and Caterpillar tractors. The same goes for your neighborhood construction crew. 4 out of 5 of these construction guys and helpers don't even have a power drill or skill saw in their toolkit. In fact, you can't help but notice that when you pull up to a construction site, on a small project like a single-family home, the first couple of months, there won't even be electricity on the job. Why? Because the workers don't need it. Everything's done by hand. The fact is, about 80 to 90% of all the single-family homes have their foundations and footings dug out by hand, not machine. And more than half the time, lots are not level. So they build houses on slopes and big inclines. And still, they don't bring in the big machinery. Workers with picks and shovels dig out the sides of mountains and hills to make the terrain level so they can start a house project. You'll never get a house contractor in the States to bust his ass with a pick and shovel all day like that. But down here, that's just the way it's done. And that's why these young guys are in such great shape. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you were driving around the outskirts of the suburbs of Cleveland and you saw some kids or adults hauling bundles of bricks or tiles or wood on their backs, shoulders, or head? You'd never see that. But for half the people down here, it's a way of life. So bottom line, without even trying, the vast majority of Latin people get more exercise in one day than the average American does in a week. And I'd put money on it. Not to mention the campesinos out in the boonies are doing all that and hauling rocks and wood around to boot. So what else besides all that outdoor exercise could be responsible for that long Latin lifespan? Part of it is the fact that even the poorest of the poor are so damn happy. They've got great attitudes, and that's gotta help. From what I can tell, the average Latin American's stress levels are about a 2 on a 10 scale, while most expats I know land down here with a 7, 8, or even a 9, which proves a life less complicated is a life less stressed. And I'll tell you, if you really want to stress out a normally very laid-back Latin person, all you have to do is load them down with all the first-world toys and gadgets that you had or have. I'm talking about the things we take for granted, like a car, computer, smartphone, ab cruncher, hair dryer, garbage disposal, trash compactor, weed whacker, video games, etc. Then get him an email and a Twitter account and put him on Facebook, and in no time he'll be just as stressed out as I was before I came down here. Then our poor little Latin guy who wanted all those things in the first place will really be ready for Big Pharma. And by the way, my level of stress way back when, 22 years ago, has got to be a couple of notches down from the stress levels up in the first world these days, what you guys are experiencing. Because back when I left, some people would say those were the good old days. There was no real estate bubble then bust, no derivatives and trillion-dollar bank bailouts, no drones, Prozac, Kardashians, 20% real unemployment or dancing with the stars. You knew that already, right? But did you know this? Excluding those Latin countries on the gringo fast track, the ones I don't recommend like Argentina, Costa Rica, Panama, Chile, and Mexico, regarding the other 15 Latin American countries that truly aren't first world wannabes, did you know that the average red meat consumption in those countries is 9 pounds a year? That's 9 pounds. Whereas in the United States, the average red meat consumption is 10 times as much. 90 pounds a year per person. And nearly all of that red meat consumption in the States is coming from factory farms, where the cows are not grass grazers, but they're eating mostly GMO corn and other processed meal. And they get monthly doses of chemicals, vaccines, antibiotics, growth hormones, and metabolism-altering drugs. Okay, now let me translate this from a big Latin newspaper. It says 80% of all cows and beef cattle in Latin America are products of small and medium-sized farms. Only 20% of Latin American farms have over 100 head of cattle. And even the very large cattle farms, the ones with 500 head of cattle or over, are almost exclusively grass-fed. It explains that down here in Latin America, it's just not cost-effective to grow corn and feed it to the animals. Not when you have 3 to 4 growing seasons like you have in most of Latin America. In fact, in most of Latin America, the vegetation is virtually out of control. It grows tall and thick everywhere, except in populated areas and cities, of course, without the need of human intervention at all. In fact, without animals around to take advantage of it, it could take over any piece of land in a hurry and be quite a problem. Why do you think every campesino with a cowboy hat has a 3-foot machete strapped to his leg? And here's something else I'm sure a lot of you didn't know. Maybe you've heard that Latin Americans eat a lot of chicken. Well, it would appear that way because when you go to someone's house for dinner, they almost always have a chicken on the table. However, here are the real facts. Again, when talking about those 15 Latin countries that aren't on the gringo fast track, the average per capita consumption of chicken in those countries is only about 30 pounds a year, whereas up in the United States, it's more than triple that at 100 pounds of chicken a year per capita. And again, up in the States, almost no one's eating free-range driveway chickens, mostly because they're 3 times as expensive. In fact, I believe the law in the United States says you cannot raise chickens in the city limits, even if you wanted to. Well, I can tell you down here, no such law exists. Even if you live in one of the nicest guarded, gated communities, I guarantee you that somewhere nearby, someone's chickens are going to piss you off at 4 in the morning. And I can also tell you when you're having a chicken dinner at a Latin person's house, By the end of that meal, there will be nothing left of that chicken except a few dry bones. There will be no skin or fat or cartilage, feet, beak, or even claws left. And let me tell you, the first few times you're sitting in a Latin household and you realize the person next to you is chomping away on a big piece of cartilage, well, that takes some getting used to for a gringo. And a chicken foot, claws and all, floating around in your soup? Well, be prepared for that too. And please, try not to gasp or make a face. Just do what most gringos do when confronted with that situation. Just eat around it and then find a stealthy way to slip it to the dog. Because let me tell you, when you're invited for dinner at a middle-class Latin person's house, mama or grandma or the girls that cooked your meal are going to be awful hurt if you don't finish everything on your plate. It's not like when you're eating dinner at someone's house in the States. We're used to wasting food with abandon. Now, down here in Latin America, you'll notice soon enough that the only people who leave food on their plates are the upper middle classes and the rich, who, like first world gringos, only spend a small percentage of their income on food, maybe 5 or 6%. Whereas the average middle class Latin making 300 to 500 bucks a month, he's probably spending more like 20 to 30% of his income on food. And in those families, food never gets wasted. And here is another thing you'll notice with a Latin family. Latins love their dogs. Most families have one. But only the upper middle class and the wealthy classes actually buy real dog food. In fact, I don't recall ever seeing real dog food at any middle class Latin home that I've been to. Though I've seen a great many stinky, mangy dogs in houses like that. And I have to add, untrained, stinky, mangy dogs. And I don't care if I go into a Latin's house that's worth $1 million US bucks. They'll still have an untrained, mangy dog or two hanging around. And when you're there and you sit down on that dog-stained, expensive sofa, I guarantee that the mutt's going to jump right up on your lap, or at least snuggle up alongside of you. And in fact, a dog obedience training school in any city in Latin America would be a great business for an expat. But I digress again. Now, I know for a fact that if you go to Costco down here and buy a 50-pound bag of brand-name dog food, like Purina Dog Chow or Prime Cuts or Kirkland or any of the medium to high-end brands, you'll pay about 35 to 50 bucks a bag of 50 pounds. And if you have a pretty good-sized dog, a 50 to 75-pounder, he could probably polish that off in a month, so do the math. Let's say a middle-class Latin family makes 500 bucks a month and he's got to pay 50 bucks a month for dog food. Well, that's 10% of his income, or about twice the average percentage expenditure that first world people dish out on human food for the whole family. So you can see the average middle-class Latin family is not going to splurge on the dog chow. And here's another statistic from an article in The Economist magazine, which says that Latin Americans eat 5 times as many fruits and vegetables by weight than people in the United States and Canada. And at least 80 to 90% of all those fruits and vegetables come from small local farms, the majority of which do not even have a motorized vehicle like a car or a tractor. And in Latin America, more than 95% of all the fruits and vegetables are non-GMO. But there's more. Throughout all 20 countries in Latin America, the average per capita consumption of milk is 50 liters a year. And the average in the United States? 250 liters per year per person. 5 times as much. And once again, the positive thing about milk consumption in Latin America is that there are almost no factory-style farms producing milk. And though milk cows down here are pumped up with a certain amount of vaccines and antibiotics and stuff, they only receive about 10 to 15% of the drugs and pharmaceuticals that first-world cows get. And by the way, nowhere in Latin America is raw or unpasteurized milk illegal. In fact, if you ever were to hit on that subject with a dairy farmer, he wouldn't even know what the hell you were talking about. And another thing you'll notice down here in Latin America that you don't notice at all up in the first world, there are small herds of goats, maybe 5 to 10 at a time, and their goat herders meandering their way down the streets and the alleys of every city in Latin America, big and small. So in fact, if you're into goat's milk, yuck. You can hook up with one of these goat herders and get on his route and become a daily stop for ultra-fresh goat milk every morning. And of course, because there are so many little goat herders around, you can have fresh goat cheese anytime you want to have that, too. Double yuck. And just one more thing about milk in general. I hope you realize that more human allergies are caused by a reaction to the antigens in cow's milk than any other food substance known. Any allergist these days will tell you, cow's milk is very good for baby cows. But contrary to what the American Dairy Association's been pumping down our throats for all these years, milk is nowhere near the perfect food. In fact, the human body tends to reject it. Do you ever stop and ask yourself why 3/4 of the world is lactose intolerant? Could it be our bodies trying to tell us something? And did you also know that another 1/3 of the world's population has subclinical lactose intolerance? Which means when you drink cow's milk, you don't exactly get cramps and stomach upset and diarrhea, typical symptoms of lactose intolerance, but it's not 100% compatible with your digestive process. So let's review what I've talked about. Latin Americans, with all their pollution problems and shortage of water and lack of hygiene and first world medicine, still have about the same longevity statistics as first world folks. And what else is different about their environment and the way they live compared to us? Well, they have much less stress, they get much more physical exercise, they eat 5 times as many fruits and vegetables by weight, they eat only 10 to 15% as much red meat. And yours is GMO corn-fed, and theirs is purely grass-fed. And they drink only about 20% of the milk that gringos drink. And their cows are not chemically pumped-up factory cows. Also, Latins only eat about 1/3 as much poultry as first-world people. And finally, the thing that might have the most positive effect of all is the fact that Latins are so damn happy. So, where do we go with all that info? Well, when you come down as an expat, I think you'll know just what to do. And to close out this discussion, let's talk about the cantinas and bars down here. So many gringos and expats have commented that cantinas are everywhere. And they do seem to do all right during the week, but on weekends they get jam-packed. Mostly with middle and lower middle class guys drinking the local beer or cheap, rot-gut, high-alcohol rum that some locals call guaro. And that's how middle and lower middle class Latin males like to party. And the upper middle classes and the wealthier classes, well, they have their bars too, but they're not called cantinas. And they don't drink cheap rot-gut rum either. They drink the local beer and whiskey. That's the universal male drink of choice with upper, middle, and wealthy classes. And that's even though Latin America is the land of very good rum. They do have world-class rum that sells for a lot of money in the States, but down here the wealthier folks prefer whiskey. Johnny Walker whiskey. In fact, Johnny Walker outsells every other whiskey in Latin America by about 5 to 1. And of course, because this is Latin America and it's all about the show, whiskey drinkers almost always pick Johnny Walker Black. Just because Johnny Walker Red is, well, Johnny Walker Red. And why Johnny Walker? Well, that's because they were smart and came down to Latin America some years ago with a slick marketing campaign. And of course, they use what works so well down here in Latin America, women in skimpy clothes. In fact, every liquor distributorship that handles Johnny Walker hires beautiful Latin models to dress up in tight leotards and wear a Johnny Walker top hat and tails. You know, the Johnny Walker logo? And a few of these girls will go to selected bars in the medium and big cities. And they're all white Johnny Walker outfits, top hat, tails, leotards, and of course, a cane, and they'll give out free shots of Johnny Walker for an hour or two. And then they'll take off and move on to another bar. Now, I don't know if they do that in the States, but it's one of the greatest marketing gimmicks you'll ever see. And of course, the local beer companies try to do some of that too. They hire these female models and put them in skin-tight outfits and send them around to the upper middle-class bars and discos to hand out beer samples. Of course, they'd never send these models with the free drinks to cantinas, middle and lower middle class bars, because those taverns, loaded with a lower class of Latin male, pun intended, and guys like that will definitely try to grope and disrespect the models. Models like that only go to upscale bars and discos where there's a decent mix of both sexes, so they won't get harassed. Now, once again, you might be under the impression that Latin Americans drink a hell of a lot of booze. I mean, let's face it, every time you see a Hollywood movie where they show a Latin neighborhood where the common folk are hanging out, there's always a bunch of sloppy drunks spilling out of one cantina or another. Well, get this. The World Health Organization has a list of countries by per capita alcohol consumption, and they did the calculations on beer, wine, and hard liquor, and they give their results on the amount of pure alcohol consumed per capita per year. And in the United States, it's about 10 liters of pure alcohol a year per person, which is about 2.5 gallons of 100% alcohol. And the average for Latin America, believe it or not, it's only half of that. 5 liters of pure alcohol per person per year. About a gallon and a quarter of alcohol. So never again should you have that idea that Latins are a bunch of drunks. But you can say that many, many Latin men of all classes and social brackets are weekend alcoholics, while very few Latin women are habitual drinkers. So it's the Latin men that are downing all the booze. Whereas in the United States, it's true that men drink more than women, but men don't outdrink women by a massive amount. And about smoking cigarettes. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Down here in Latin America, just like up in the first world, it's high school and college kids that think it's cool to smoke and drink. And yes, when you do go to the bars and cantinas, the places are engulfed in smoke. And yes, in many cities in Latin America, you're not allowed to smoke inside of a business. But only the owner can enforce that law, because the cops, they're too busy trying to figure out where the next gallon of gas is coming from for their police cruiser. And the other thing is that maybe 50% of the bars in Latin America are basically open-air or garden-style bars. Half the bar inside and enclosed, and the rest outside. So obviously, people can smoke, and they do. So like I said, for college and high school kids, it's the cool thing to do. And it's much worse with the upper middle class and wealthy kids who go to expensive private schools. And you can tell that's happening right away when you go to a decent upscale restaurant and you see a bunch of young college kids, sometimes more girls than guys, puffing away like fiends. These are the wealthy entitled kids who copy everything they see that first world college kids do. And actually, you'd think a lot more people would be smoking cigarettes down here, since they're just ridiculously cheap compared to what you'd pay up in the first world. For example, I've heard that in certain parts in the States and Canada, they could be from $5 to $10 a pack. And in Latin America, $2 a pack. And even cheaper if you buy any of the local off brands. In fact, just like beer brands, every country down here in Latin America seems to have one or two brands of local cigarettes, which are always about a half buck cheaper than the known international brands like Marlboro's or Kool's. So all you expat wannabes up there who smoke a pack a day, which at $10 a pack would work out to $3,600 a year, come on. You come down here and smoke a local brand, and in a year or two, you'll save enough money to pay for that cancer operation. And before I sign off today, don't forget to go to expatwisdom.com and click on my seminar link for my June adventure. I still have a few spots left, so by all means, sign up. You won't regret it.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America. TheExpatFiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture. He knows.